notify you once you begin your broadcast. The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy New Year. Joe Varnador here. Hope everybody is doing well. Welcome from the frozen north today. I am in Minneapolis this week, and it is very, very lovely weather up here. A little bit different than what I would expect in Florida. So let's see. We've got a few things I want to go over today, and obviously I want to make it all for you. Let's see. Very good. Jackie, if I can, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take you off mute, and let's see if we can talk here. All right, Jackie, you may have yourself muted there, so I'm going to let you do that, or try to do that. And Dave, you're on today, so I'm going to pull you off so you can be a color commentator here as well. You must have yourself muted here as well. You must have yourself. Dave? All right, let me get the hang of this today. Jackie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Joe. How are you today?
You know, I'm very good. Like I said, I'm up in Minnesota. And I'm working with the Minnesota RIA here, and they have a really nice, really big group. So, yeah, it's a little bit cool up here, but I do understand that it's cool down in your neck of the woods as well.
Okay, great.
And Dave, I've got you. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you as well. Can you hear me?
Yes, Joe, can you hear me?
Very good. Yes, I sure can. Everybody had a good New Year's and Christmas, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All good.
Good deal. So listen, on the last call that we did before the Christmas break, I mentioned, and you had talked a bit about, Dave, about working with CoreLogic and working with Bob Snyder and getting set up to run credit reports on your prospective clients in your office. So what I would like for both you and Jackie to do is talk a little bit about your experience. And Jackie, if you don't mind, and David or Dave, you had a you got yours taken care of, and Jackie had a little bit of a challenge, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But Dave, kind of go over the process for everybody, and just kind of to set this up again, you guys may want to, and one of the things you may want to do as you start to automate your businesses more in 2016 is the ability to get credit on potential borrowers. Number one, if you are going to if you're going to create a note as selling a property and you want to note out of the property, you would want to be able to run credit or get check credit on your potential borrower. And number two, if you're looking to buy notes that have already been created, and obviously we're talking about performing notes, if you want to buy notes that have already been created and they have some seasoning, you're looking to buy them for yourselves, or you're looking to broker those to a national funding source, or you're looking to sell a partial on something to someone that is an investor of yours. So there would be several reasons why it would be good for each of you to have the ability to check credit on borrowers. So Dave, you pretty much do all of that. So why don't you talk a little bit about, and by the way, I've I have mine with Experian, and I've had it with Experian for almost 15, 16 years. So my experience is from 15 years ago. Dave and Jackie's experience is from the last 30 to 60 days. For Jackie, it's the last week or so. So Dave, talk a little bit about your experience with CoreLogic and what they required, and then what the office visit looked like, and so on. So I'll let you do that.
Okay, Joe. Yeah, I talked to Bob Schneider. You got his name there on the screen. He's a sales rep for CoreLogic, or they go by Credco. And the net is he sent me over to another gentleman named Brandon. They emailed me an application. I filled it out. The costs, and then after that, they have a party come out to your office to check that out. That's $200. And after that, it's $1.50 a report. Or if you get all three bureaus, it's three times $1.50. The application process was relatively painless. As long as you fill it out clearly and concisely, they got it through relatively quick. He initially told me it could take a month, but I was approved in less than a week.
Okay.
When the party came up to my office, it's okay now to do a home office. They now recognize that. You have to put a regular lock and key on whatever. In my case, I work out of a spare bedroom in my home. I put a regular lock on my door. They took a picture of that. They want to make sure you had some form of a locked file cabinet, so I have a fireproof safe combination that met that criteria. Want to see a shredder. They saw that. And they want to make sure that your PC was, had a code to get into it, and I have that. And they took pictures of all that. The guy was here for maybe 10 minutes, and that was it. And then maybe 20 days later, I got the invoice for the inspection. Now I'm set up and ready to go.
Okay, so to kind of go back through that, so the initial application, and it was $200. For the initial application, and that was the only cost that were involved with that.
Yeah, that was for the inspection. The application is zero. It's the inspection to spend the company
office. So what you did, right. Went to Lowe's or Home Depot, and you got a regular lock set instead of having just a one that you could only lock. You had to put a key set, change the door, which took you about 5 minutes to put a regular keyed door lock on the entry into your home office / spare bedroom.
Correct.
Okay. Now, and then you downloaded their program, and you've got a icon on your desktop, and you basically click on that, and you put the name, the address, and the social of your borrower, and voila, in seconds you have their credit report and scores.
Yeah, I have not done yet. I have not had the opportunity to do that, but that probably will be happening.
Okay.
Before the week's over.
All right. So, Jackie, you had a little bit of a different experience. Now, Dave is in Phoenix, and Jackie is in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So, Jackie, describe, kind of go through what your experience was and what happened with you and why it happened, if you don't mind.
Okay, everything that Dave said happened to me in exactly almost the same order, with the exception that my home office situation was different than his. When my husband and I purchased the house that we're in now in 1999, we built a room at the end of swimming pool, Florida room,
uh-huh.
with two entrances, both of them locked. And we put an office in there. It could be used as a mother-in-law suite, but we put an office in there, one for me and one for him.
Right.
And we have a three LLCs and one subchapter S, and the subchapter S is the one that I was applying with. I am either 100% owner or part owner of everything.
Right.
The lady came, and my husband, one of the LLCs that I am also a member of, is called Meridians and Parallels, and was started out to be an LLC to put a 65-foot boat in, which we still have in it. But my husband started doing some consulting work for occupational medicine groups, one of which is down here in Beaufort, North Carolina, and the other of which is in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. And so he's been running the income through Meridians and Parallels, which is fine with me. When they asked me if anybody else shared the office, I said, yes, my husband sits over here. I can't hear you anymore, so hey, I don't know if I'm
sorry. I'm in a hotel, and my it looks like I lost internet connection there for a second. So go back and say that again.
Where did I stop?
Oh, well, I lost you right about where you were talking about having the boat in the LLC and sharing the office with your husband who does medical collections.
He doesn't do medical collections. It's medical consulting.
Medical consulting. That's right. There you go. Right, okay.
Right, right. And so they asked me what he did, and I told them. And but that entity, the LLC, is not affiliated with my subchapter S.
Correct.
And they have denied it based on the fact. I mean, I had everything. I had the shredder. I had the lock cabinets. I had the, you know, PC with the sign on. I had two doors with two locks and two sets of keys. But the reason that they denied me was that he was located in the same room with me.
Right.
Now, I have emailed them and asked them a couple of things. One is we have a second home in Beaufort, and I could move his office location down to Beaufort, which would be perfectly happy with him. or I have an extra bedroom with locks on both doors, and I could simply put a desk in there with my computer and a filing cabinet with a lock and key, which I have in the shredder, and invite them back. They're willing to come back. They're just not willing to accept me with the because of Consumer Financial Board. They say that they're just being eaten alive by them.
Right, and the data breaches and all of that kind of stuff as well. Okay, so, and you know, Jackie, that, and I didn't say this, but you know that you could kind of move him out, and once you have the inspection, you could move him right back in probably.
Well, I asked them, it's a long story, but yeah, or I could have answered differently.
Right.
What I did understand was that in answering the way I did, I was getting myself denied. But so, and that's why I put it on the call. I'm not telling people to lie. I'm just telling people what the rules are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly right. And you shouldn't lie. And it's one of those things that, you know, you've got to be completely cognizant of. But yeah, I get it. Well, Jackie, I think that, you know, based on what you said and moving the office down to Beaufort, that would probably settle the situation. And you know, he could probably still work in there when he was in town, so to speak. But anyway, I think you should probably, you know, continue to work that way with it. And get it. I know your business is growing, so I think it would be a benefit to have that within your business.
I agree. And I think the second bedroom, I think the extra bedroom with nothing but me in it,
right,
is the better solution, because they can't then complain that there's anybody else in there but me.
Huh. And by the way, just to you know, to ask, so I mean, do you have it set up as a bedroom, or it's really an office? And Dave, is that kind of the way you have it too? It's just an office, but it is a bedroom in your house.
That's correct.
Okay. I mean, there's not a bed in there. It's got your office. It's fully an office and not a bedroom and so on.
It's 100% an office.
Right. And same with you as well, Jackie.
Well, the extra room that I have is currently a storage room, and so I'll just move things around and put a little corner of it. I'll make a corner of it an office and say, this is storage and office.
Gotcha.
You store things in offices. Trust me, I've had a few.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good. So, well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, you've got it under control. I know when I got the email from you yesterday, you were a little bit disappointed, but I think that – you know, I think you're moving in the right direction there. And again, guys, just so you know, it's one of the things I'm going to work with you guys on this year, with as well is treating your business like a business and making your business work more for you instead of you having to work so hard on your business. So, you know, this is just, and guys, you've made an investment to be a mentoring student, and you've made an investment to be into the note business. So, you know, personally, I want to see you guys have massive success this year in your business. So whatever you can do to make your business more productive and to make yourself more productive, I think you're all going to be aware, all need to be aware of these things that you can do as you move forward to make you into more of a business. And by the way, Jackie, Dave, both of you know this. That's a total write-off for you as far as the cost to, you know, for the office business or visit and the cost for the entire part of that. And each time you pull a credit report on a borrower and things like that, you know, that's all part of your business, and that's all a write-off as to what you do.
Well, Joe, isn't life a write-off?
It could be. You know, I think Kevin's on the line here as well today, too, just kind of listening in. But, you know, Kevin and I, when we used to teach together, we used to, part of our deal was making your life a write-off. And that's really the things that you should be doing is when you are a business owner, you should make your life a tax-deductible event. I mean, you know, every time you get in your car and, you know, every time you go to a meal and things, I mean, that's part of being a business owner. And it was certainly the IRS or IRS certainly set that up for you. So use what you have, whether you're buying computers or locking filing, fireproof filing cabinets or whatever it is. You know, think along those lines as you invest in your business, and it's going to be much better for you as you're out there doing that. Each time you guys attend a, you know, either a non-performing or a performing class again, and just make your life a tax deductible event, and that's where I'm going with that.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. This is Kevin, and I always used to say, you know, you just have to meet that definition of a business with the IRS, which is to be in business, you must provide a good or a service with the intent to make a profit.
Right.
And as long as you're pursuing profit, essentially, and you have expenses involved, then, yeah, that's a legitimate business expense because you are in pursuit of profit. So that's why I like to tell everybody, I work none of the time, I work all of the time, you know.
Right.
So every place I go, every, you know, place I travel, this and that, inevitably talking with people about business. It's not whether it ends up being a business partner or even a business transaction, it's the pursuit, yeah.
That's true. And, you know, when Kevin has his board meeting with his other board member, Kendra, his wife, obviously that's a deductible event as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, you can hold those anywhere. We happen to hold them in the Bahamas, yeah.
That's right. Hey, Kevin, do you remember, it's been a lot of years ago when I had the house in downtown Orlando and we had just started charter, and the guy came over and did the office inspection on the place there, on the little house I had on Brown Street in Orlando. Do you remember that?
Oh, I totally remember that, because he also wanted to do an impact study on the traffic flow, even though the business really was all through the internet.
That's right. Yeah, and we're talking, guys, what has that been, Kevin? 20 plus years ago, and that was, of course, just right as the, you know, we started doing things online. So it goes back a long way, man.
Yeah.
All right. So Jackie'll have to talk to us some other time, Kevin, about the 65-foot boat they have down in St. Thomas, huh?
I'd be happy to. It's currently for sale. If anyone wants to look at it and take a gander at it, it's www.meridians.us. Enjoy.
Well, you know, Kevin,
yeah, I think most boats are always for sale, aren't they?
This one is a world traveler. We actually went across many oceans with it.
Well, you know, Kevin, we should probably
He's also got about three motorcycles, so he has lived the life Eddie said he had to live before he started doing notes.
Right. Kevin, you and I probably need to fly down there and have a look at that and spend a few days down there and write that off as well, right?
Well, come to Beaufort, because the boat is actually in Beaufort. If anyone wants to come see it, come on down and see us in Beaufort, North Carolina.
Gotcha. All right, so Jackie, you had another question here that you typed in about do we ever buy an NPL from an individual private lender? Talk to us about that.
Well, I just mailed 1,000 letters, my first mailing, and I have no idea what's going to come in with it, but I've also started putting together a website, and I'm in the middle of doing that. And it hit me that there might be a, you know, I'm not afraid of non-performing loans like I was 6 months ago. In fact, depending on the complexion of the environment with the collateral and everything, I might be interested in a non-performing loan, but I haven't heard y'all talk about that on the Thursday calls, so I was asking the question.
Okay, yeah, I see my sound is going in and out here, guys, and I apologize for that. I'm in a Ramada Inn in Minneapolis. So Jackie, you've gotten a note that someone wants to sell, and it's a business or a private lender that wants to sell this note.
No, I've sent out 1,000 direct mail pieces, and I don't know what to expect from it.
Oh,
I'm asking if I get someone who has a non-performing loan, and it matches the criteria that I look for in non-performing loans. Is there any reason not to pursue it?
Absolutely not. When you're dealing with when you're first of all, what you said was you don't know what to expect. You don't know what to expect from your mailing. You know, initially, Jackie, you're gonna have maybe a 2-3% response. Some of the stuff you'll get is going to be. I'm going to try to change positions here in my room. I can see that this is kind of bugging in and out, so maybe I'll go over by a window here or something. Anyway, you're going to get your responses, and obviously some of them won't know what you're talking about. Some of them will say, I sold that note 3 years ago or 2 years ago. So use that to clean up your mailing list as you go through the process. You're going to have a lot of tire kickers, just like Eddie has said. You're going to have people that are going to push you to give you a price up front. And again, Jackie, you just have to remember that you can't give a price until you've gotten the complete story from your prospective seller. And so you need to go through the dance, as Eddie would call it, as far as going through the process and getting all of your questions answered, and then talking about, you know, the six factors that affect the value of a note and so on. As far as if someone's got a non-performing or a sub-performing note, there is nothing that could stop you from working with that seller on that non-performing or sub-performing note. You're going to talk to them as you talk to them about the six factors that are going to affect the value of a performing note. That non-performing note is only going to, you know, is not going to meet any of those factors. So you're going to have to let them know and educate them to let them know that, you know, it's not going to be something that's going to be worth a whole lot of money. And then depending on which state it's in and the foreclosure laws in that state. So again, wow, guys, I am really sorry this thing is going in and out here the way it is. Can you guys hear me at all?
Yes.
Okay. I'm watching my bar here on the top of this, and it looks like about every four or five words that it pops out. But you'll have to just let them know what that looks like and what the process is, and that, you know, a non-performing or a sub-performing note is not going to is going to be worth somewhere between maybe 20 and 50% of current value based on that, or if it's a performing note that you're going to be looking what at the ITV on that or your investment to value. So, you know, you're gonna get a lot of different things, and certainly Kevin and I have got over the years. We probably, when we had Charter, we mailed out thousands and thousands and thousands of mail pieces, and it'll be interesting what you hear. But Jackie, just remember that whatever you get up front, and Dave, you can speak to this as well. How many mailing pieces have you mailed out?
I'm sending out 1,500 today. I figure I'm going to send four pieces to every party on my list. This is probably the third. But typically it's 1,000 to 1,500 a month.
1,000 to 1,500 a month. Okay. So, and Dave, what you're doing then is, now are you going back through and you're doing the second marketing campaign to that list? How many of the first ones you've sent out, how many mail pieces have you sent to that first mailing that you've sent out?
Three or four. This is the fourth one for the first piece.
Okay. So you're sending, now you're doing follow-up. So you're sending the initial letter, hey, you sold your note, you sold your property 2 years ago and you financed it for your borrower instead of the borrower going to the bank and getting a loan and so on. What is your second piece that you're sending to that person look like? Is it a postcard? Is it another letter? What does that look like, Dave?
I did a postcard, and that was a waste. I did 2,500, and that was a total waste.
Okay.
I've done the gift cards. That was marginal. The letters are the best. And then Eddie was blunt with me. He asked me what I was doing, and I shared with him I was using the window envelopes. He says, dude, why are you doing that? So now I'm totally in sync with what he was recommending on this particular mailing.
Right.
I'm also mailing letters to people that I've given quotes to before. I send them a letter probably every month just as a general follow-up.
Yep. And guys, I can tell you that as part of what Kevin has always taught you at the three-day, just because they don't want to sell today or don't need to sell today doesn't mean that something's going to happen in their life tomorrow where that is going to change. So it is all about that continual marketing, and I will tell you that it's been our experience over the years that most people send out one mailing. They didn't get but maybe one or two responses, or maybe they only got one or two deals out of that first mailing. But let me just say this. Dave, what are you spending on a mailing? A couple of $1,000?
On this particular mailing, I'm going to be spending $1,200 on 1,500 pieces. And I have a company that will print it, fold it, stuff it in the envelope, and seal it. And I've been putting the individualized commemorative stamps on because from my real estate days, it was a good thing to do.
Right.
But that's pretty much it. So I'm doing it for about $1,200 total.
Okay, so if you will, share that information with me, and if anybody wants the information on the folks you're using, you've had good luck with them?
Yeah, they're here in Tempe.
Okay.
It's not a national firm.
Okay.
And I drop them off and I pick them up, but I've got, you know, face-to-face relationship, but they've been good. On one mailing, they messed up, and they totally credited out and did another one for me for free.
Okay, well, in that area, I'll get you to send me the information on those guys, and if you need some information, certainly joe@noteschool.com, I'll forward you what David has sent me. So, Dave, so you've got about $1,200. So you only have to do to make money on this, you only have to have one of those 1,500 actually go through and you purchase a note from them.
Right.
So I'll
close probably three out of that.
Right. Okay, and that's about right. So you're going to get a 2 to 3% response on your initial mailing, but the harvest on that is going to be the continual marketing, and you will pick up It may be a year from now. It may be 2 years from now. You'll have people that will save your information. And I know one of the things that, that Kevin and I always did on the bottom of our letters, and I don't know if you do this, Dave, but if you're not interested in selling your note at this point, please put this letter in your file and so that you'll have our information. And you know what? People will do it. So, and then the continual repetitive marketing as it goes out, you'll finally, it's like having an annuity where you'll see this stuff start to pick up for you as you go down the line. Anybody have any questions?
Go ahead. Joe, what I found out is in my real estate career, which I started mailings back in the mid-80s, my goal was to be professional and sharp and crisp. And I'm doing the same thing here. I always feel that pays off. It's always paid off in the past. You've got to look like a pro. Like you're just not some schlep just, you know, playing a game or just, you know, a part-time deal. It's got to be professional.
Well, it's certainly all about that from the envelope that you use. I mean, you're not going to use a window envelope or something that looks like you bought a bunch of envelopes from Walmart. The quality of the paper that you use, making sure that there is no grammatical errors. I had a student send out a bunch of marketing letters, and actually one of them went to a physician, to a doctor, and he corrected every one of the grammatical errors and spelling on that letter, and sent it back to the student that had sent it out. And of course it kind of aggravated the student, but I said, but you know what, see the importance. You never know who's going to open that letter. And of course the guy wasn't being, you know, he was just being himself, obviously the guy that made the corrections. But you know, that's a big deal in being professional. You know, that's part of the business, and we should all do that in everything that we do when it comes to our marketing, our business
card. Lost you, Joe.
Hold on. From the business cards that we use, can you hear me? Okay.
While Joe's working on his sound again, yeah, I think what he was going to finish with is exactly what you were saying, which is, you know, be professional, because it does make an impact on folks. And if you have spelling errors and things like that, it just comes off as amateurish. And, you know, these notes are valuable, and people know that, and they want to work with pros. And if you are collecting, I just, as I was listening in here, I'm working on some other things, but don't forget also, if you want to do some follow-ups, if you're collecting emails and things like that, we do have on the membership website, we've got that other little booklet that Eddie put together with the Superman on the front. Somebody will remember the name of it, but that's something, you know, you can give as a free gift and that sort of thing to help people to just keep in contact and maybe help people understand the process a little bit better as well. Everybody remember the name of that? You guys remember?
I've got it archived, Kevin. I can't remember what it is.
The Streetwise Seller.
Yeah, Streetwise Seller Financing. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, good. I mean, Kevin, if you'll recall, we sent out years ago, 1,000 or 2,000 or maybe it was 5,000 letters to folks that had CDs and looking for them to invest in tax lien certificates. And I don't think that we got more than two or three responses out of that 5,000. It was just the wrong letter and the wrong list, I think, is what we determined. So,
well, yeah, what that one really was, and I remember that one pretty specifically as well, because it teach another valuable lesson. Direct mail is, you know, there is a bit of a science behind it, but you have to test it. Test. So what we found that worked better was instead of sending out, which actually on that one that you're talking about, Joe, we did a massive email. And if you recall, it was about 10 pages long, and front and back. It was about 10 pages, and it was an expensive mailer, but it had a good, strong message to it. But we made some assumptions, which is people would read through it, and we bought a list and had a good targeted list. But we sent out, it was actually twice what you said, there was 10,000 at one time. And that was really foolish, and because we tested one letter to 10,000 people. It would have made much more sense to try, and again, depending upon the size of your campaign, but try 200 letters here, try 500 letters there, and then kind of track your results to zero in as to which ones are getting better responses and why. And that was really the valuable lesson on that one for us is, yeah, because I don't think we even got that many responses. And I know one response for sure was, take me off your list.
Right.
You know, kind of response. But it should have been tested. You know, in real estate and such, they always say location, location, location. In direct mail, it's test, test, test. You know, you see what works and you start to go for that.
Well,
but much like other marketing, it does require multiple touches. Normally, what's not going to happen is the person's just going to receive your letter, send everything in, and they close the deal with you. There's going to be phone contact. There's going to be follow-up. So if you can gather their information, emails, and that sort of stuff as well today, it's a lot easier to keep that database warm because you never know. I remember we had a lady one time. We marketed her about every 6 months and never wanted to sell, never wanted to sell her note, never wanted to sell it. And then finally she calls us just out of the blue saying, hey, I've got your information here. You guys have been sending me, and I do want to sell my note now, and can we close tomorrow?
Yeah.
So she completely changed. That was her daughter was getting married or something like that. So
hey, guys, so, we all know that life changes on a dime, so it is in that repetitive marketing and just keeping it out there. And one of the other things, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this too as far as this topic, but and knowing where your marketing is working best, and you'll notice that when you have a response and you call in and you have to give that code, guys, that's nothing more than a code so that the person that sent you that marketing letter will know which marketing letter you received or which format you received that in, and they're just testing there to see where they're getting their best response rate from in their marketing. So, you know, consider all of that, and certainly you can study and do that. But that seller streetwise seller financing piece that is on the website there is certainly it's time tested and it's worked for a number of years. So keep that in mind and do that. Let's see, we've got a question from Andre. Andre, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, good, buddy. How are you?
Doing very well. Things are well. Doing okay in South Carolina?
Yeah, it's a little warmer than your area, I believe.
Yeah, I'm looking out the window here. We've got some snow flurries, and I can see the Mall of America over there, and there's snow piled up all over the ground, man.
Makes me shiver to think about you, Joe. Makes me shiver.
But it's all good, man. What they say, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. So what's going on with you?
Oh, I really didn't have a question. I don't know. Did I raise my hand for some reason? My mistake. I'm just listening in. I'm just listening in today. I'm about to bring my physician on board that wants to spend $1 million, but we're trying to get him about a nice little cushy $50,000 note to get him happy. And if I can do that, then he's going to probably buy some more from me.
Good. I know you've been
buying from note school.
I know that you've been courting this lead for a while, so it's finally come to fruition for you then.
Yeah, we just have to get the next tape and pick one out and hopefully get it done. He's real cautious.
Well, you know what? With everything you hear going on today, you can't blame someone for being cautious. So, you know, you court them, don't push them.
I don't.
And just, you know, continue to be professional, as we said, you know, as we've talked about. And once you get going and once he sees the process, certainly they'll feel more comfortable about that. I know Bob Brayerton. Bob, you're on the phone today as well, and I'll unmute you for a second. Bob, you want to share any, and guys, I just wanted to kind of, with this first call of the year, just kind of put some people on that have had some experience, because I know we've got some folks on that hasn't been and are brand new to Note School and the call. So I thought it would be great to kind of share some of these stories. Bob, any things that you can share with us as far as courting investors for your business?
Patience.
Right.
Patience is key.
Patience is key and not pushing them. Okay. Anything else in your Bob's got Bob has a lot of wisdom, so and it's a bit seasoned. So you've how many investors did you create in your bit for the business this in 2015, Bob?
About 30 some odd investors that are willing to try a note. Some of them have done notes before on their own. Others are brand new that I've done investing with other real estate deals in the past, and they are now excited about notes because they know what they're going to get for how long they're going to get it, and it's simplifying their lives and their investing schedule. So I'm looking forward to a great 2016.
Well, good. I know that you've created some good investors there, and again, you're right. Probably the key word there is patience. Another P word is professionalism, and staying in contact, and you know, part of being professional is not only in your marketing, but is also in the way you handle those prospective investors. I mean, if you say you're going to call them, you need to call them. If you say I'm calling you at 1 o'clock tomorrow, call them at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Even if the information they were seeking is not available, call them and let them know that you're working on it. You know, it's really, you know, treat your folks the way you would want to be treated if you were out there, if you were looking for an investment. And it is a scary thing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, so you've just got to make it as easy as possible for your investor to understand what you're doing. And I was talking with a gentleman that was looking to invest some with me, and we've talked, and obviously we've had, you know, had some, you know, great track record. And his problem was the last investor that he had dealt with was not transparent on anything that he did. And I'm not a big believer in you having to, if you're going to make some money on something, you know, your investor knows that you're making money. So for you to try to hide that is just silly. You know, you deserve to make a profit. You deserve. That's what your business, that's what you're in business for. So be as transparent as you can possibly be in your dealings with your investors, and that'll make a difference as well. So we're drawing here got about 15 more minutes. So what I wanted to do as we start to wrap this up today, and as we start, you know, you all should have made your New Year's resolutions and your plans for your business for this year and so on. And Kevin, chime in on this as well, because I know that Kevin and I kind of go through the same thing here. And a lot of the content that you guys send in is gobbled up on the Monday performing call and the Tuesday non-performing call. So on Kevin's Wednesday call and on my Thursday call, we don't have as much content as Eddie would have on Monday and Tuesday. So Kevin, one of the things, and I've been meaning to call you and talk to you about this, is that I'm going to start doing some mini lessons on every call. And, you know, it may be the first 15 minutes of the call, maybe the first 20 minutes of the call or 30 minutes of the call. But what I would like to hear from you guys is what you would like to learn this year, or what you would like to focus on. And since I get an awful lot of questions on the call, and I know that a lot of you have the same questions, but I think the first series that I would like to do, just to kind of get it started, is on how do you create a sellable performing note, you know, one that is SAFE Act compliant, and what are the characteristics of that? And not only if you're selling property, or if you're dealing with someone that is selling property that wants to create a note as well. So I think, you know, the first series that I would like to go through, and it'll probably be, we'll start next week, and with the first part of that, and we'll probably make it a two-week process on that, and it may take 3 or 4 weeks to go through it completely, but I would like to hear from you guys as to what you would like to learn and what's important to you as far as the performing side of the note business, and we'll just do a mini lesson. I'll still do your questions. We'll go through anything that we need to go through, but we'll spend a few minutes of each call simply talking about and going through some lessons. Kevin, would that work for you on your call as well?
Yeah, I always encourage people to send in some things because, for example, last night we had somebody submit a very simple question on the surface, which was a difference between two types of particular deeds. And because I got that early enough, I was able to take that and bring up sources and things like that to explain it and illustrate it better. And, yes, I even used some PowerPoints on that as well. So I try to take the questions that people submit and really expand them into a lesson, because I know people sometimes submit and they're looking for a specific answer, and I get that, and I will give them that answer, but I like to take that and expand it so there's other people on the class that, on the webinar that can learn from that. So sure, any just little ideas like that on things you want to cover, given enough time, Joe and I can build things around that, and I've found that very helpful on our calls.
Yeah, it's just, you know, these calls, you know, they're for you. They're not for Kevin or Eddie or myself to, you know, to listen to our talk. They're for you, and that's entirely, you know, why we do them. I mean, I enjoy doing them, and I know that Kevin does as well. But the more that we can make it meaningful, the more that's your 8x8, Kevin. The more meaningful we can make it for you guys, the better that's going to be for everybody. So if you will, joe@noteschool.com, if you will go ahead and send in topics that you would like to talk about this year, and that we can make a mini lesson out of it. And what we'll do with those is we'll post them. Kevin will post them to the website, and it'll be, you know, not only good for you, but students coming in later. And we just find that works out.
We can't hear you, Joe.
Okay, yeah, I saw. I just went to zero. What we find is that works out very well for you. So
we lost you after.
You hear me?
We lost you. No, we lost you after you said post them to the website.
Yep. Can you hear me now?
Thanks.
Yes.
Okay. Good. So what we'll do, if you'll send in to joe@noteschool.com, or Kevin, do you want them to send those directly to you, or do you want them to send them through content? How do you want to do that?
Send them through content, please.
Yep. Send them through content and say, hey, this is something that we would like to discuss, or we would like to talk about in detail. And we can make that happen for you. So please do that, and we'll make it meaningful as we possibly can. What other questions do we have out there, guys? I know we've got a bunch of people on the call today, and I've only heard and only talked with about four of you. So any other questions that we have, either A, raise your hand. Okay, Charlie, you've got a question there. Mr. Wilson.
Hey there, can you hear me?
How you doing? I can hear you, Charlie.
Okay, great. Yeah, I had a question, something along those lines that got me thinking what Bob was talking about there. I've had several folks, three people in particular, I guess, that are interested. You know, I've kind of, when I'm talking to people in general, I say, yes, I'm starting to get into the note business, and I'm buying and selling notes. And I've had three people that go, I'm really interested in that. You know, how do I, you know, learn some more about that, essentially. And from my standpoint, I'm like, oh, I tell them a little bit, you know, of what I know, but do I – I've never bought a note. I don't want to say that necessarily, you know. What's the best kind of – and Bob may be good at answering this. What's a good way of kind of giving – keeping the interest there until, you know, foundation of what I'm doing? Does that make sense?
Well, you know, one of the things, Charlie, that you'll want to do is don't try to, you know, of course, the old guru said, fake it till you make it.
Lost you.
Okay, yeah. Oh, crud. Hold on, guys. All right, can you hear me now, Charlie?
I can.
Okay, good. You know, the old guru said, fake it till you make it. So,
pretty good at that.
Yeah, don't, you know, you can do that, but you can only do that when you're soliciting an investor. You know, you can only do that so much, and if they feel that you're not sincere, they're going to shy away from you. Bob, do you have any feedback for Charlie on that?
Joe, this is Kevin. One of the recommendations and one of the things that's always worked for me is kind of turn it back a little bit on them, where you've explained maybe the business a little bit and say, but you know what, the industry itself, the way you invest in the business can do so many different things in so many different ways. So let me ask you a question. What are you investing in right now? You know, what do you do? What kind of returns are you making? Okay. What kind of security do you have in the investments? And so you start to really almost by asking them questions, you get a profile back of what they're looking for. And then, you know what? Well, let me do this. I'll write something up and show you how, based upon, you know, what you're doing now and what you'd really rather be doing, on how this industry might work for you.
Sure.
And
is,
that
would you
buys
guys
you a little
suggest...
bit of time also. So, you know, if you need to then put us on, you know, get on a call with Joe or somebody and just say, okay, look, this is what a person's looking for. How would you explain to them what's their best approach to the bit, you know, that sort of thing? Because I think you kind of tailor it. After you get past the generalities of the business, I think it's got to be tailored to that.
What are they looking for?
Person. Yeah, otherwise it doesn't matter.
Well, right.
Would you suggest buying a note myself personally before I try to work with an investor?
No, I don't think that's a requirement. I know we've had some students who have taken that approach, but we have other ones who have not taken that approach. And it's really, do you have the knowledge base of it, and do you have the deliverable? And see, with Note School, you do. So you've got the knowledge. If you don't have everything you need, of course, you've got us to you know, have conversations just like this. And then you've got that deliverable of, okay, well, here's what I think would work for you. Is this something that makes sense for you? Okay, great. What's the next step? Are you know, and that's where you start to establish, are they really just interested, or are they moving to the next step, which is, okay, well, let me tell you this. I have access through an exclusive relationship where I can tap into inventory where we can get this done, but for me to do that for you, I would have to have you sign a non-disclosure agreement with me, and you know, when we found something that suits what you're looking for, you have to be prepared to put the money down for that. Is that something that you're prepared to do at this point? So again, you're now qualifying that person as a prospective investor for you, because what you don't want to do is have time wasters where you go and you think you have somebody who's going to do a transaction with you, and you do all this work and input and finding stuff, and push comes to shove, now it's time to fund it, and they go, oh, well, I got to move this around, I got to do that. I mean, you've got to set it up the right way.
General sales procedure.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Charlie, the other part of that, it's just like Kevin said, by questioning them, you're going to get a sense of really what they've been what they've invested in the past, and what kind of returns are they looking for? Is their return, you know, is what they want, is it reasonable? I mean, is there, well, I'm sure. looking for a 22% return. Well, you know, there's some things you've got to go through a process there. So you'll get an idea as to what they're looking for. And one of the other things, and by the way, Kevin, that's great on, you know, having them sign the non-disclosure for you. That's just a piece of professionalism there that, you know, this is a very discreet business, and we want to make sure that, you know, we have people's information, and we want to make sure that, you know, you're agreeing that this is personal information, private information, and that, you know, we don't want that shared. So, Charlie, another one of the things that I would suggest is for you to, you know, go online, go to the website and look at the notes that are available. Also tapes from the past, go through and start analyzing those deals, and you'll learn a whole lot by looking through the stuff that's been offered in the past. And Kevin, are those mm-hmm. on the website, the old offerings that they can use as just kind of a template so that they can get familiar with the process of going through a tape on a performing level?
Sure. Yeah, they are there. And, you know, there's enough also inventory on the regular where you find the new inventory. You know, you can go back a couple months and pull an old tape from that as well.
Exactly.
You know what? Looking back through, I've been going through those and trying to just kind of get a, you know, start to learn to speak note, as Eddie says, by knowing what I'm looking at. But what would be, I don't know if there's any way to do this, but what would be great is if you had like some older tapes that someone actually bought, you know, like an asset that someone actually bought, and to have some sort of follow-up of how that turned out or what their strategy was on it, you know? Because I look at the tapes and look at the different assets and I go, okay, well, I could probably do this with it or maybe that, you know, whatever, but it would be fantastic if we had some sort of follow-up of what actually happened with that asset. Does that make sense?
You're talking about case studies. Yeah, well, that's
– I
teach using those all the time, sure.
Well, mm-hmm. the case studies are there, and, you know, maybe that will be part of – maybe we can use that. That's a great idea, is on the Thursday calls we can bring in a case study, and maybe I'll do something like that at least a couple of times a month, and we'll take and we'll dissect that deal as to, okay, here were the positive points, here was the positives, and here's the negatives, and here's what we did with that, or here's what the outcome of that deal was. So Charlie, that's a great idea, and within, you know,
maybe on a relatively recent tape, you know, because I'm more than likely I'm kind of looking at all of them, you know,
and if
we had a case study of one that I had already looked at. You know, as we kind of come through, I would recognize like, oh, that's the one in South Carolina.
Right. You know, and you know, that's a good point. And what we'll do is we'll even take some new stuff on there and say, okay, let's dissect this and see what the possibilities. Would this be one that would work great for where we could sell a partial off of that and sure. get most or all of our money back? So yeah, we'll do that, guys. It's the hour is drawn to an end here. So please, you know, send in what you would like to look at this year. Certainly, we've got a couple of things now. I've got a good direction of where you want to go. Over the next week or so, go into the website and look at some of those mini lessons that you know. I know Kevin has worked very hard on putting those together and from these calls, and go through the tapes and go through them. So if you have a question as you're looking through, let's bring it up or send it to me saying, you know, I was looking at this particular note on the tape. What do you think of this? And then we can go through and kind of dissect that and see if it'll work for what your investor or what you're looking for as well. So if you guys will do that, we will make this year a very meaningful year. And for those of you that have been around a little while, well, you know, we want to take your business to the next level. And for those of you that are just brand new and getting started, we want to get 2016 started off with a bang. So, Guys, I appreciate you being on, Kevin. Thank you for being on and sharing with us and so on. And we will talk to you guys next week. Stay safe and stay warm. Thanks, everybody.